Good morning, everybody. I'm just thinking, I always get myself in trouble, you know. I might do that today. Anyways, the important part of what we're going to talk about today is dealing with the issue of sin. And sometimes we have a challenge with that because it's the elephant under the carpet, you know that? We don't talk about it. If you don't talk about some of the nasty things, I was thinking about it. People who don't discuss the issues of sin end up deep into it, because that's how sin works. It catches you when you don't think about it. It's a deceiver. And so, you know, I was thinking about this because when I was a young man, my parents were good Jews. We didn't talk about issues. We didn't talk about problems out in the world. They would try to keep me sheltered from everything. And lo and behold, I went to public school. And you know what happens when you go to public school? That's right. Less than sheltered. Less than sheltered. And so before you know it, you don't even have to go to public school. You don't even have to go to public school. You can find this in our, maybe not as extensive, but then it's hard to know, even in our Adventist schools. So, you know, the bottom line is, when you become a Christian with all your heart, then the first thing that happens is you realize that there's a problem. You say, whoa, I am a messed up boy. I've got issues. And Lord, how in the world am I going to solve these? And so we say, Lord, please help me to be a good boy. And then we try really hard to be a good boy. And what happens? What happens to good boys that try to be good boys? Or maybe I should say it this way. What happens to bad boys that like to be good boys and try to be good boys? I think I've read about that in Romans chapter 7. Yeah, I do what I want to do, or do what I don't want to do, and I don't do what I want to do, and woe is me. Until we find that Jesus can deliver. But that's a process. And part of the process is not that Jesus doesn't have the power to deliver, but we don't know how he does it out our own way, okay? And I'm talking about this, you know, when I was 7, that's when I started smoking, and I was drinking before I was 10, and so then I become a Christian when I was 18. Was there a little baggage there? Now, I want you to think about this, because even in our church, especially as a pastor, I know all the stuff I don't want to know. Sometimes you can get on Facebook and find out more than you want to know. But a lot of our young people are going through these issues that I went through as a young man, and I wasn't even a church person. But we like to hide the elephant under the rug and say everything's fine, and we don't discuss it. And that is our worst problem. We don't discuss it. So I'm the one, you can blame me, but I think this is important for our young people. If I started smoking at 7, I wish somebody had told me about it. I wish my parents had talked to me about it and said, you might do it because you're cool, but you're going to pay. You know, so these are things that we need to discuss. You know, I was talking about drinking. I remember struggling with alcohol, okay? And I'm going to go into a little detail just so you can understand the struggle that you have. And I think I talked about this before. I'm trying to remember if I did. But, you know, as a drunk, we don't like to call it that, okay? As a drinker, those who drink, what does alcohol tend to do? Word with an H, starts with an H, hooked, okay? It's addictive, okay? And so we are a world of addicts in one way or another. And the devil doesn't care how he gets you addicted. He just knows if you are addicted, he's in control. Okay? So with understanding how God can help you get victory over drinking, and I hope to God that none of you have this issue, but I'm not going to get a show of hands here. This will help you understand how God can help you with every other area in your life. And this was the challenge I had. I was a young man, 17, 18, and I was a drinker. As a matter of fact, I even went to a church, this was before I became an Adventist, where everybody drank in the church. That was the social stuff we did. And so that really didn't help me at all because I had no reason to stop. Everybody else drank too. And then the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And this was completely separate from, you know, our church is weird. There's a lot of churches out there that think drinking is perfectly fine. Not too much. You know, just a couple glasses, but just the same. The Holy Spirit spoke to me. I was reading a couple texts in the Bible. Do you know of any of those texts on drinking? You guys know that one? Proverbs 20? And whosoever is what? Deceived, deception. So you know what deception is? Deception comes when you think everything's fine, but all of a sudden the fish hook has got you. Okay? So I remember struggling with quitting to drink. You know how many times I quit drinking? Take a guess. I couldn't count them. I remember drinking and taking beer cans and crushing them in my hand, cutting my knuckles up and throwing them and saying, and cussing. Isn't that the way to do it? See, we got to learn how to do this the right way, but that was the way I did it. Getting so mad at drinking, I threw the beer cans down, and I was still an addict. I couldn't stop. Before I knew it, I was back getting more beer, and I was the man that Paul talks about in Romans 7. I was miserable. Oh, wretched man that I am, who's going to deliver me from this body of death? That's exactly what I read. And I said, who is? Lord, please help me to stop. And over and over and over, I had to pray that again. And I was in tears. And you read those texts that, you know, if your hand offends you, do what? Cut it off. You ever been? I hope you haven't been tempted. But there are times where I thought, well, maybe if I just sew my lips shut or cut my head off, then I won't have to deal with. Is that the way to solve it? Okay. You know how many people solve it that way? You don't realize. People who end up committing suicide are dealing with sin, and it devastates them. Okay? This is why I'm even here to discuss this, because we need to nip it in the bud. I remember struggling. And when I went out to British Columbia, and I was up in the middle of nowhere, that helped, because there was no booze stores. Once you're done drinking, there's nothing left. And you got to hike 20 miles to the nearest store. That was the biggest blessing for me. The other blessing when I came back to Detroit was that I didn't own a vehicle. And so for me to go buy booze took longer than if I had a vehicle. And that was a blessing in disguise. I remember going to the booze store over and over and over again. And on the way there, I'd say, what in the world am I doing? What's wrong with me? Do not do this. And I kept walking. I wanted to smack myself. It didn't help. I kept going. You know, an addict is an addict. And I was at a 10, full-fledged. I was a pro. And God, this is the nice part for all the addicts out there, or if you know any addicts, God had mercy. He still loved me even though I had been through this 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, 20, 70, was it 70 times 7? How many is 70 times 7? When I got past 490, I thought, that's it. No more mercy. But you know something? God has mercy even when we get past that number. I went back and forth. I would go and get the beer. I would come and I would drink it. I'd get mad at it. I'd kick the cans around and say, "You fool." And I would start crying and say, "God, why do you even put up with me? Just do the lightning thing. Just get rid of me, because I am a useless Christian." And the devil loves to make you feel useless and worthless. Okay? But God said, if you confess your sins, what? He is faithful and just to what? To forgive you and do this. I have no... As a matter of fact, I tried to quit over and over and over, and I finally gave it up and said, I can't do it. I am a horrible weakling. I can't do it. And that's when God said, okay, now I can help you. I've just been waiting for you to give everything to me. It's kind of like holding the chain. I'm still hanging out. You got to let go and just fall. You have no idea where you're going to end up. Then God can come and help. And so, on the way to the booze store, and the problem was, is I was relatively alone at this time in my life, and the devil just loves it when you're all alone, because that's when he works on you the best. If I had three or four other people, sometimes we need people around us to be advocates, okay? Well, you don't want the wrong kind of people, because they will make it worse. So I'm on the way to the store, arguing with myself again. Lord, what's wrong with me? Please help. Please help. That was my prayer. Please help. Over and over and over again. And God and the Holy Spirit, the victory. And I said, well, it sure doesn't look like it while I'm walking to the store. And I was struggling with this. See, the battle is not in having a beer in your hand. The battle is right here in your head. So I'm walking to the store and I'm saying, he's given me the victory already. And the Holy Spirit says, absolutely. If you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you. He's already cleansed you. Just believe it. See, this is the challenge, believing God's word. I didn't believe it. I didn't believe God can do it. Remember our memory verse or our scripture reading? With men, it is impossible. Yep. With Dean, it was totally impossible. But with God, how many things are possible? All things. And it's like, he's given me victory. I'm walking to the store. He's given me victory. So what am I doing walking to the store? What's wrong with me? If he's already given me victory and I believe it, then I can just walk back. And I decided to turn around. You know what this is called? It's called the freedom of choice. You have the freedom to choose. You can't change your heart. You can't fix yourself, but you can make a choice. Turned around and started walking back. This is kind of like Peter walking on the water. I can walk on the water. And as I was walking back, the devil, you know what he was saying? But you're not going to have an enjoyable evening. No booze. And you can argue with the devil and say, well, yeah, it might be enjoyable for a minute. And then you got to live with it for the... Isn't sin pleasurable for how long? A short season. And then the ends, it kills you for the rest of your life. And see, our young people and our old people, you know, sometimes we say, well, let's talk to the young people about sin, but the old people have their issues too. The only plus to being old is you can't run as quick. So I started walking back, and then the devil caught up with me and said, what are you doing? Do you think you're in control? And he started filling my mind with all the things I would be missing if I didn't have my sin. So I turned around. What a dummy. What's wrong with him? Amon said, wait a minute, you already have victory. And I said, you're right. You guys ever had this kind of experience where you go back and forth, struggling to believe God's word that he has given you victory? Well, that day, I turned back around, I said, I believe God, and you gotta quote these texts over and over. I can do how many things through Christ? I can walk back home and not have my booze and be happy through Christ Jesus. And I walked back home. The next day, I wasn't successful. And you know what the devil says? Just throw in the towel and forget it because, see, you messed up. No, I had one victory. Then I had two. Then I had 4 days. Then I had eight. Do you follow how this works? Then I started to form a habit. Are habits good? Maybe. Depending on which habit you have. But we can have a godly habit, can't we? So with the Holy Spirit's help, I haven't had a drink. And I'm a few years past that. And I'm to the point now where I can drive by the booze shop and I'm not even slightly tempted. Not slightly. I can watch other people drink. Doesn't faze me at all. As a matter of fact, when I quit smoking, I struggled with it. People would smoke and it's like, and now when I see people smoking, and I love people who smoke because I was a smoker. I know what they're going through, okay? But now I see them and I say, how in the world can people smoke? It's like gross. See, but this is the Holy Spirit changing you completely. Not only your heart, but he also changes what? Your taste buds. This is the miracle. This is the miracle. Okay, let's open our Bibles. Turn to Jeremiah 33. These are promises. We need promises or we are going to be victims. Every last one of us. The devil doesn't care if you don't smoke. Because he will catch you in whatever sin is that easily besets you. Okay? So, we have to understand how the battle works. It doesn't matter if it's a battle over alcohol or a battle over smoking or a battle over cussing or a battle over whatever. Okay? Jeremiah 33:3. This is a promise. And this is what we have to do. Sometimes we got to yell. And I will answer you and I will show you great and mighty things which you have not experienced before. This is a promise that God can give me victory and I can be clean. He can do it. True? Turn to Mark. I'm going to look at a number of texts today. But write these texts down. Because each one of you has your besetting sin. I won't take a show of hands, but I know some people say, well, we haven't sinned in years. No comment. Okay? You know the problem with people who haven't sinned in years? The devil has them fully engaged, and they are totally blind. True? Okay, Mark 11:24. This is a promise. But see, the challenge is believing God's word. And even if, you know, the devil says, well, you don't believe. Well, you know, the Bible says he even healed the man with the son who said, help my unbelief. So I can say, even if I don't have enough faith, God still promised he's going to come through because he's faithful. Okay? Mark 11:24. Therefore, I say unto you, he's talking to the disciples, whatever thing you desire, and this is a good desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and what shall happen? You will have them. Is it God's will for me to quit vices? Yes, no? Absolutely. Every one of them. And so if it's got his will, we're working in accordance with his will. That means I can say, Lord, please help me stop drinking. I thank you. I have it. Even when I don't think I have it because he's promised, not because I'm good enough, not because I deserve it, but because God wants to give me the gift of victory. It's as simple as that. Okay? Numbers. This is one by a messed up prophet. He even got a few things right. Numbers chapter 23 and verse 19. This is Balaam speaking. It's amazing you can get A promise from a messed up prophet. But he had a few things right. Numbers 23:19, this is a promise that I put in my promise memorizing book. Because when God says something, he follows through. Isn't that true? Does he follow through every time? Even when we don't believe, he'll still bless us. And if we do believe, he can do incredible things through us. Numbers 23:19. This is Balaam. He should lie, neither the Son of Man, that he should repent. Has he said, and shall he not do it? Or has he spoken, and shall he not make it good? When the devil comes to me and says, God hasn't given you victory, I can argue with him, and I can quote this text. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. He has spoken, and he's going to come through. He will make it good. This is really the bottom line. This is really the bottom line. The only way we are going to make it into the kingdom is through God's promises. No other way. He will take you down. I don't care how often you come to church. The only blessing in church is that you're not doing something you shouldn't be, hopefully, while you're sitting in the pew, but then it's only a couple hours a week. What happens during the rest of the week? You go home and the devil gets after you. You know, it is so because God has promised is something we need to learn how to repeat over and over. Let me read something for you. This is from Steps to Christ, a good little book. Jesus healed the sick. We may learn something about how to believe in him for the forgiveness of sins. Not only for that, but we'll keep reading. Let us turn to the story of the paralytic at Bethesda. The poor sufferer was helpless. He had not used his limbs for 38 years. Okay? And Jesus bade him, raise, take up your bed and walk. The sick man might have said, Lord, if you will make me whole, I'll obey your word. Does that sound reasonable? If you just heal me, I'll stand up. But no, he believed Christ's word. Believe that he was made whole, not that he will be made whole. See, this is our prayers are like, Lord, please help me, rather than say, Lord, thank you. I have the victory. There's a difference. But no, he believed Christ's word, believed that he was made whole, and he made the effort at once. This is where he willed, where he decided, I'm going to turn around because I have that freedom. And God just showed me I can do it. He made the effort at once. He willed to walk, and he did walk. He acted on the word of Christ, and God gave the power. He was made whole. In like manner, you're a sinner. You cannot atone for your past sins. You cannot change your heart and make yourself holy. But God promises to do this for you through Christ. You believe the promise, hopefully. Even if you don't, God's still faithful. You confess your sins and give yourself to God. You will to serve him just as surely as you do this. God will fulfill his word to you. If you believe the promise, believe that you are forgiven and cleansed, not just forgiven. The cleansing part is important. I don't want to be a drunk under the bridge and be forgiven. I want to be out from under the bridge. I want to be a new man. And God gives us this package deal, forgiveness and cleansing. He didn't want to give us a half of his promise. If you believe that you are forgiven and cleansed, God supplies the fact. You are made whole, just as Christ gave the paralytic power to walk when the man believed that he was healed. It is so if you believe it. And she continues on. Don't wait to feel that you're made whole, but say, I believe it. It is so, not because I feel it, but why? Because God has what? He has promised, and he is going to come through. As a matter of fact, he came through in the past. See, when the devil gets after me, I say, God help me with drinking. He can help me with everything. Sometimes we say, well, we don't want to talk about sin issues with our kids around because, you know, they might. But, you know, if kids start smoking at 7, I think it's time we talk to them about how God can give them strength to be victorious even when they're young. Doesn't matter what issue it is. Doesn't matter what issues. As a matter of fact, well, I won't go into that. Looking at addictions, what kind of addictions are there? Let's take a look at some of the options out there for being total slaves. Okay? You can be addicted to drugs. You know, meth. You know a meth addict? Just wait for them to smile, and you know they're a meth addict. Doesn't take long. Meth makes your teeth fall out, amongst other things. Got illegal drugs, but then you've got legal drugs. And if you go to places where they help people with addictions, you'll find that there's more people addicted to legal drugs than illegal drugs. So be careful. Be careful. God can help you with drugs. Alcohol, we already talked about that. Sex. Think there are a few sex addicts out there? We don't want to talk about that. We'll talk about it a little bit. How about food? Any food addicts? How do you know a food addict? Oh, Pastor, now you're meddling. A food addict. Today, they engineer the food. They actually have scientists that work on making the food taste so incredibly good that when you take one bite, you are what? You can't just have one. This was like 30 years ago. You can't just have one chip. You guys know that commercial, huh? Not if you're a millennial. They just have a different commercial memorized. That shows how old I am, huh? And the devil doesn't care if you're old or young. Some people say, well, Pastor, you shouldn't be talking about this because we're all old. But, old people have temptations too. Surprise, surprise. And that comes from somebody I probably shouldn't have watched when I was a kid. Okay, food. Now, TV. Do you think TV can be addictive? They don't even call it TV today, do they? TV was one of those old things with the, with the curved screen that your whole family kind of squished in front of to watch movies, all that kind of stuff. Can you, I was looking at the list. Can you be addicted to work? But I thought work was good. Aren't you supposed to work for what you get? Can you be addicted to work? Why would somebody be addicted? I'm thinking, well, wait a minute. If you stopped working, would you have like withdrawal? Maybe when the bills come, then you'd have withdrawal pains. But some of these addictions have nothing to do with physical, well, some of them do actually. Food can definitely influence your physical realm, but a lot of them have to do with what's going on up here. You can be mentally addicted to something. Okay, so work. One of the other things I found on the list for addictions is laziness. You can be addicted to doing nothing, to being lazy. And I've met people who are professional, I'm not sure how to word that, do-nothings, yeah. There was another thing on the list. Don't slay me. It starts with an F. Oh, don't get the wrong idea. It's F-A-C-E. You guys know what it is? Can you be addicted to Facebook? Oh. We wouldn't know what's going on in the world if we didn't have Facebook. I always joke, all-seeing, all-knowing, Facebook. Can Facebook be addictive? Doesn't even have to be Facebook, huh? Phones, I love those. That's right, this is addictive. Should I get rid of it? You can even be addicted to being religious. And you'll know religious people who are addictive. Because if you don't do what they want, they'll hurt you. But there's a few, and I'm just starting. I looked at the list. I was looking on the internet, the dangerous place. I was looking on the internet, and I found hundreds of addictions. So if you don't have one of these, there's one specially made just for you. And this is why it's important for you to understand how God can give you victory. Because before you know it, you're an addict, and all of a sudden you realize it. What have I been doing? What a fool. Now I'm hooked. How can I get past this? And I was thinking about this because I had a member come to me, and they said they were hooked on food. Can you guess what kind of food they were hooked on? What's that, pork? Members in the Adventist Church don't eat pork. Fried chicken. There you go. And I'm being serious. This person was talking about being hooked on ice cream every night. And you say, well, come on. You know, ice cream's no problem. Is ice cream a problem? Oh, I see. I guess some of you agree with me. I didn't say, I think ice cream's fine. I can have ice cream in my fridge and it sits there and it doesn't bother me. But not everybody feels that way. You know, when I was a kid, should I tell you all my bad habits? When I was a kid, my brother and I would do stuff together. We'd go out and work or we'd do this or that. And then we'd go to the store and we'd buy a half a gallon of ice cream each and sit and just eat the whole thing together. Just get a spoon, open up the box, and just consume the whole thing, half a gallon. And then we got to a point where we were getting those gallon ones, you know, the big ones. Just eat the whole thing. And it sure tasted good on the way down, but you know what happened after? This is like eating too much salsa. Sure, fun on the way down, but then there are consequences. Some people say, there's no consequences to salsa. Okay, well, this person came to me and they were serious. And they said, Pastor, I eat ice cream every day. I'm to the point where during the day, I'm hooked. And people, when I tell them, they just say, oh, come on, that's not an addiction. Can you be hooked on food? You know, sometimes you'll find the worst food addicts are actually very thin. And I told this person, I said, you know, God can help you, but there's a few things you might need to do. Does the Bible give us counsel on what to do with this kind of addiction? It gives you counsel, and that's the same thing with booze addiction. What's the best thing you can do? You start where? Prayer. And then you go and you look in the cupboard. You know what the next thing to do is? Let's turn in our Bible. Turn in your Bible. Turn in your Bible. We're going to get some text on this one. Romans chapter 12, verse 21 gives us some ideas. See, this is important. If you want to be victorious, doesn't matter what your issue is. Now, ice cream is not bad if you eat it in moderation. Some people say, well, how much is moderation? Okay, you know what moderation is. And you know when you're eating way more than you should. Okay, the Holy Spirit will speak to you. It doesn't matter what it is. Okay? It doesn't matter what it is. You can even eat really healthy vegan sort. Can't you? Does it matter how healthy the food is? The healthier food is a little better. But you can still find some really good vegan junk food to be addicted to. Okay? And you know, I'm talking about this because I have relatives. I remember having a relative stay with us. And they were trying to be really healthy. And then we took off from the house. We had to go somewhere. We were gone. And, you know, get to the airport and they were going to fly home. We looked in the garbage can. And this person who was very particular about not eating anything, there was a huge box, an empty box of ice cream. And I think she just pigged out. And you know what they call when people pig out, doesn't matter what it is, and then they, you know what that's called? Bulimia. Is that an addiction? Oh, yeah. And you know, people with bulimia end up looking like meth addicts. Do you know why? because their teeth rot out just the same. Food addiction in this country is doubling. Okay, let's take a look. Romans 12, 21. Be not overcome of evil. Okay, what's the solution? Good. So if you're tempted to do something you shouldn't be, find something good to do in its place. Go help a neighbor. Go to church. Be involved with other people. If you have an addiction, do something to help other people. Here's another one, Romans, same book. A verse later, Romans 13, 14. Romans 13, 14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not what? Provision for the flesh. And I looked up the word provision, because there was some other versions that said, just don't think about it. But I was looking in the Greek on provision, and it says, don't supply yourself for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So in other words, if you got a struggle with alcohol, you go and you say, Lord, please help me stop, and you remove all the alcohol from your house. If you can't handle whatever it is, you clear the house out of whatever that item is. Okay? I remember one guy came to me, he said, I was a TV addict, and I couldn't stop. And he threw the TV out the window, literally, and broke it. He says, that was the best day of my life. Now, you might not be a TV addict, so you can keep your TV. But sometimes we need to clear the house out. And these are some of the things we have to do, okay? Now, there's some other issues that come up, okay? Turn to James. There's some other good text for you. James 4, verse 7. You know this one. You should know this one by heart. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. This is called submission. James 4, 7. Submit yourselves to God. And what are we supposed to do? Resist the devil, and he will do what? He will flee. So we should pray and then ask God for strength to do what? To say no. But Lord, I can't say no. I can do nothing of myself. That's fine. I'll help you say no. So you resist the devil. Now, you know something. This is a topic we don't like to discuss, but I'm going to spend a little bit on it. We've got a couple more minutes. Might take more than a couple minutes. But I have people come to me all the time, men and women. Sometimes I have to meet with people in public places. But they have issues, sexual issues. Okay? And say, Pastor, you're not supposed to talk about that because the kids are here. But let me tell you about kids. The majority of kids have seen porn by the time they're 10 and 11 years old. We don't want to admit that. So you can do one of two things. You can either not talk about it and let them become total addicts because nobody even talks about it and they get sucked in, or you can talk about it to them in a healthy way and say, be very careful because it's extremely addictive. Let me give you a few statistics just so you're aware. Now, Pornhub is the most popular website for this kind of thing. And it's not too far beyond Google. You know, if you look at the most popular websites, you get a list. It's in the top 20. And I was just looking on the internet, not looking at the porn. I was just looking at about Pornhub, okay? And it was saying how much time people spend on Pornhub. They added up for the year 2016. And I'm talking about the people in your neighborhood, the people that live in your house, wherever it is, maybe it's you. Okay, and it's not little women who have this issue as well. 2016 equals 5,245,000. Would that be days? That's how much time people spend on Pornhub. You think it's days? 5 million days? How about weeks? How about months? Years is the answer. The amount of people in your world that spend on this one website, do you think there are more than one website out there? On this one website, looking at porn equals 5,245,000 years just for 1 year worth of time. Do you know what that means? It means this world are a bunch of sex addicts, very simply. So what do you do? Do you talk to your kids about this? Do you talk to your spouse about this? Do you talk to your parents about it? You say, look, we need to be careful. Because there are tons of people who are totally addicted to this. Okay? I'm not going to go into more detail, but I had an elder in one of my churches, not this church, came to me. And he said, Pastor, I am an addict. It's been going on, he said, since I was a boy. And he said, now that the internet is here, it's like, what do I do? He said, the worst part, and he says, part of the reason I'm coming to you is because my wife found out. And you know what her attitude was? Take a guess. She said, my husband, I won't even say the word. You can imagine. I hate him, I hate him, I hate him. And he said to me, he says, Pastor, what do I do? And I went to visit both of them, and she was venting. I almost had to, you know, do one of those center, you know, football center blocks. Because, no. But how can you help your hubby? By killing him? I guess that would stop him. Okay, this is an uncomfortable topic to talk about, but I think this is important for us to understand. People who are addicted need compassion, but they need also somebody who says, I will not allow you to continue. There's a balance. You don't want to be codependent and say, it's okay, just go ahead and keep on going. You said, no, we're going to give you compassion, but we're going to give you a way out. So I talked to my friend, and I said, tell me how tech savvy you are. And actually, I didn't even ask him that. I just looked on the computer, and I can tell how tech-savvy he was just by looking on the computer. And fortunately, I'm a little tech-savvy. But for tech-savvy folk, this is the worst thing, because the tech-savvy folk know how to get around all the barriers, and nobody can tell. He was not tech-savvy enough, so I set up his router. Some of you might know what I'm talking about. I set up his router with the adult protection to keep him out. I set up his browser. He had two browsers. I set both of them up, protections. Every time he got on the wrong website, it would send his wife an email with all the details. You guys laugh. But you know what happened? And I gave her the password. She was sitting there, both of us. He, her, and I was helping. I was setting this up on their computer, okay? And this was in the days when he just had a flip phone. So we're fine, because we don't have to do this on his phone and on his tablet and on the other phone. And he just had a desktop there. And she said, she looked, and she didn't have to tell me this. He didn't have to ask for help. But he's willingly allowing you to put protections, and you get the password. I gave her the password. I said, you are in control now. And all of a sudden it dawned on her that she had a hubby who really wanted to stop. But she couldn't understand, because she was not in his place. She didn't understand his temptation. I came back a week later. I said, did you get an email? I was thinking maybe I should put myself on the email list so I can find out what's going on. She says, I haven't gotten any email. I looked on the computer. He wasn't even home. Went over there with somebody else. I looked on the computer to circumvent it. He didn't know what to do. I had a couple different barriers. It worked. So I talked with him a couple days later, and he says, Pastor, this is working. He says, I'm too embarrassed to go to the store and buy something. But the internet, I can do this all alone when nobody's looking, but now I've been cut off. And he says, it's been a week and a half. And he says, thank God. He says, it was tough at first. You know, addiction is easier and easier. And he said, thank you for being my advocate. Sometimes we need an advocate when we're struggling with sin. Sometimes we need to have wives or husbands or children or parents that can understand us when we get caught doing something we shouldn't do. Okay? Now, if you've got somebody who's into incest or child molestation, you don't just cut off the computer, but you call the police and you say to this person, I love you, but the only way you are going to protect other people is if they lock you up. So you and I are going to call the police. I had to do this with one person. Do you think that would be easy? Is it the right thing to do? Was I compassionate? You know, we got some tough issues we have to deal with. If you know people, figure out a way to help them. And I don't push myself on people. If they call and say, Pastor, can I help? I'll say, fine. But if they don't want help, you know, there's not much I can do. Until the Holy Spirit helps people see how miserably ugly their sin is, they're going to stay addicts. You follow what I'm saying? And the Holy Spirit can give each one of us victory. Just like I struggle with alcohol, the same struggle happens with every kind of sin. It doesn't matter what the kind of sin is. And I'm sorry that we had to just bring up some of these issues. But you know, when I talk about this every once in a while. I remember doing this one time when I was at PUC many years ago, lots of years ago. I was just in my 20s. And they asked me to get up, and they, oh man, they didn't know what they're getting into. You know what they did? They asked me, they said, could you, because I just came back from Central America. And they said, could you get up and tell what God, the most incredible delivery that God has given you while you were in the mission field or during your life? So I prayed about it, and I said, you know, before I was a Christian, thank God they didn't have the internet. And so I got up, and I told my story, and I said, there is hope. You could, I mean, there was probably 800 people. This is a college church. You couldn't hear a pin drop. And they never asked me to get up and speak again. But you know, the interesting thing is I had two teachers come up to me, two teachers from the religion department, and they said, thank you. Nobody is ever, we're glad you have such a big mouth. Nobody ever talks about this. And then I would go walking behind the college, you know, we were up near the airport. I don't know if you guys know PUC. And I would go, I'd like to walk. So I walk every day. And as I was taking my walks, I would have one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, a number of young men catch up to me and say, because they couldn't do this in public, they would say, we heard what you said. Could you help me? I'm addicted. And I need help. You can't imagine. Well, you could. But the key to this, you can't always help everybody else. But the key to this is understanding how God can give you victory in your personal life. And then you can tell your story. Jesus comes. And before Jesus comes, he wants each one of us to have what? Total victory in our lives. Doesn't matter what the issue is. And this is why we're here as a church. Because we want to give everybody what? the good news that Jesus delivers. We were reading about that in Sabbath school, weren't we? He delivers the captives. Isn't that what he does? How many here would like to have victory in their own lives? Why don't you stand? You don't have to tell me what the issues you're struggling with, but how many here would like to have victory over everything? Doesn't matter what the list, what's on the list. Ask God for strength to be totally victorious. We're standing up for him. Let's close with prayer. Lord, we are standing because we cannot do it. Well, you already know this. You wrote it to us. Without me, you can do nothing. And you know each one of us are total weaklings without you. We are total victims. We are total addicts. And we just pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would give us wisdom, help us to remember your promises, help us to claim your promises, help us to say it is so because you have promised that each one of us has victory in our lives. And help us to take a brother or a sister's hand and help lift them up too, Lord. When Jesus, and Lord, we just thank you that you forgive 70 times 70, 70 times 70 million, that you forgive. You're not willing that any should perish. And we just pray that you would help us to be there and help all of the people in Hermiston and everybody that we run into. Help us to be missionaries to, so when you come, your kingdom will be full. And we just thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.